Powered by Rev Media and in partnership with TSN, this is the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast, and it is presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, introducing the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series of delicious CC 15-year-old sherry cask. It has all the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. I, of course, am not Darren Dreger. He's taking a few days for some family time. And did you notice, Ray, I didn't say what season or episode it was. I did that on purpose to bug Dregs.
Yeah, and I'm lost. I don't even know what focus to have here. I mean, like, it's the highlight of my show when Dregs asks Zuby just before we start, is this episode 52 or 58?
Which one is this?
Yeah. He's got no idea.
I know. And I always say to him, like, but it's okay. Like, no. And he's like, no, we need to have the episode number. Like, if he doesn't get the episode number out, he just can't focus.
It's got to be cataloged for Darren's liking. But
yeah.
So we don't know what episode this is.
I know. I'm just not saying it. And okay, I'm doing it perfect. On purpose.
And you know that I have no idea. So this is perfect.
It is bothering you a little bit, isn't it? Just a little
bit? Yes. I like to be a little tidy. I like to be tidy. Yeah, you're not doing it. I'll get it from you by the end of the show.
I'm coming in to create mayhem. I have to say, Ray, I'm super excited to be hosting this podcast. I've been listening to this thing since you guys launched 5 years ago, and I'm really happy to be doing this, man. I have to say, like, I feel like you need to be nicer to me today than you usually are because we're on the big show.
Well, okay, it's funny you say you're interested and you're excited to do it, but we see the background video of when you're having a coffee, we're doing the show, you're talking to your wife, you're having a coffee, you're fixing that golf mat or whatever the hell you're doing in the garage, and I don't know if your excitement level matches your words. I don't know that.
No, I'm telling you, this is a big deal. You can ask my wife. You can ask my kids. I was all excited. I actually showered this morning before doing this podcast.
I have noticed. You do look a tad disheveled most mornings. So this is a step up. I like it.
Fantastic. Where are you? You're in Vegas. You got Vegas and Vancouver tonight?
Vegas, Vancouver tonight, and then Vegas, Arizona tomorrow. And so busy week. And then I go to Boston on Thursday for Bruins, Florida on Saturday afternoon. And then who am I doing? Dallas and Colorado on Sunday.
Man, so look at you.
So it's a busy week. And then home Monday and 10 days to go before it all starts for real.
So we didn't catch it on video, but Zuby and I got a bit of a kick watching you try and figure out the blinds that you've got in your fancy Vegas hotel behind you. They were automated blinds, Ray. How long did it take you?
Well, I mean, once I pulled on them yesterday and they didn't move, I'm like, okay, there's a device here somewhere. Well, I couldn't find the remote for it. So I would say upwards of 3 minutes, probably not five, until I could get the blinds.
Not at all frustrated, eh?
There was a point I actually thought, could I sleep if I can't get these things closed?
Hmm.
And then I was like, no, I got to find it because I'm not going to be able to do it. There's
no chance. You're in Vegas, man. Nothing but light coming through there.
Light, and as it turns out, they're right on the wall, right where they should
probably
be.
Probably labeled. You didn't call the front desk to ask, did you?
No, I've done that before. How do I close the blinds? Right by the thermostat. There's another monitor. Oh.
Yeah, sir. Please pay attention. All right. Let's get to talking some hockey here. Time now for our Tim Hortons headlines. Savory pinwheels are the latest addition to the Anytime Snacker platform of buttery and flaky pastries. Served warm, they are the perfect snack to satisfy your savory cravings. Available at participating Tim Hortons restaurants across Canada and for delivery through the Tim Hortons mobile app. Haven't eaten yet this morning. Not going to lie to you. I might be heading to Timmy's after we're done taping because that ad read just made me hungry, bud.
Yeah, there's some good little treats and snacks and things there.
Yes, indeed. Let's start out with the Toronto Maple Leafs. 6-4 win over the Florida Panthers. Auston Matthews with 2-1, now pushing his totals to 62 goals, Ray. Eight games to try and reach that 70 mark. And I guess my question for you is, if he gets there, how much in the conversation for the Hart Trophy must he be? Because he hasn't necessarily been there a ton in the overall conversation, but 70 goals is special. So how much does he enter the fray?
Well, he is on the fringes of it. And I would say it almost, to me anyway, the most valuable player, if the better your team is, the worse your chances are. Mm-hmm. Because you have more help than maybe other guys would have in their seasons. Yet you look at if Matthews gets to 70, then you're really talking about Kucherov, McKinnon, McDavid, and Matthews.
Yeah.
And whoever wins, the other three markets will be offended and
of course.
And nobody pays attention, and it's really going to be how the voters specifically view the award. And so for me, I he'll be in the context, but I look at the way the first half of the year was in particular in Tampa, and Kucherov carried that team all by himself. It was not even close. They didn't have Vasilevsky. Sergachev was out for most of that part before he came back and then got hurt again for the end of the year. They had no depth of scoring. Stamkos had a terrible start. Mm-hmm. He's now back up to 30 goals. But I likely will vote for Kucherov in that, still looking at the other years and going, like, of those other three players and going, man, this is crazy, the numbers they're putting up and how important they are to their team. McKinnon has Rantanen. He has Makar. McDavid has Draisaitl. And a power play that stunk at the start of the year, which now I think teams take a penalty and they're just terrified that what's going to happen when they start rolling around there. Matthews has had Marner minus the last dozen games. Matthews is important, is critical to that team, though, because he plays and is of a different style than most of their team.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the answer is Kucherov, but maybe in the last 10 days, that'll change too, I guess.
Well, the other thing notable about Kucherov, 45 point spread between him and the next guy. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, wild to think that you can still be up, you can still be putting the points up with nobody else even in the ballpark. I know Braden Point's an amazing player.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
42 goals.
Yeah, but Kucherov is, what's he, 45 points in front of him?
45 points. He's got 127. Well, that was quick math by me, so it's not dependable, but 82 and 127. So you help me out.
Okay,
there.
By the way, I got to say, you say about math. Yeah. Last night in two different games, the games were winding down and they put the standings on the board. And listening to the play-by-play and the analysts try to do the math quick, oh my, it was, I text one of the guys and I was like, that was spectacular. And he said, yeah, I looked over at the analyst and he had this blank look on his face. Like, don't ask me, man. I got no
complex
chance.
Algebra.
No chance.
I was working on a CFL broadcast one time and we did an interview at halftime as the player was coming back out on the field. And I said, yeah, so down 21. I said, so the score was 21-12. And I said, down 11 at the half. What was said in the locker room there to try and get back on track? He looks at me and goes, man, we're only down by 9. Like, he just stopped me in my tracks with that. And I laughed and we sort of had a laugh and then he answered the question. But when we do these things, as you know, Ray, they're often pre-taped. And so the truck is laughing in my ear and they come on and the producer's like, do you mind if we use that? It was pretty funny. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and use it. Yeah. So they ran it on the broadcast. Biggest mistake I made, Ray, because I did a radio show every morning in town. And every single day they played that clip on that radio show for like 4 years.
Well, it's a mistake anyone could make. But since you're the guy making it, you know you're going to wear it. And you know if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh, you would be hitting the guy over the head with a
100%.
Down 11. Oh, really?
Man, we're only down by 9. Like, come on.
Awesome.
It's got enough as it is without you getting the math. back to Auston Matthews. I as a 400 goal scorer here, I'm interested to put this in front of you. And this comes in part from the Quizmaster, who we know and love. Him and I have this conversation all the time. Is Auston Matthews tracking to be in the conversation for the greatest goal scorer? And some context here. Alex Ovechkin, 0.6 career goals per game. Matthews sitting at 0.65 right now. Obviously, Ovechkin's been at it a lot longer, and there's a lot of road for Matthews to cover here to truly be able to be in that conversation in historical reference. But is there potential for it to track that way, Ray?
I just think I'm going to say sure. I guess the numbers tell us that, and it's hard to – you can't – if you're looking at an analytical view of it, you can't do anything but speak on what the numbers tell you. So you just – you give us the point – or the goals per game, and sure, he can track for that. There's two things of Ovechkin, and they're tied, you know, tied together. Three things, really. Mm-hmm. His power play production – over his career has been amazing. That power play always ran right through him. I don't think another power play will ever be as singularly dominated as Ovechkin. The longevity of it, you know, Ovi's now, what year is this, 19 for him?
Just think
to play 19 years and to be productive that entire time is really an incredible thing to think about. And the third thing is health. He's been virtually indestructible for his entire career. And mm-hmm. Matthews misses around 10 games a year. He had the 1 year where he was, you know, he was injured for a longer period of time, but he's kind of in the mid 70s, games played, 68, 70, a 73, a 74. Health is the wild card in all of it. It really is. When I saw, you know, the Gretz's number and, you know, my good buddy John Butchergrass was yapping about this a decade ago that, oh, he's on target for it. I'm like, no, he's not. Like, it's impossible. Like, that number is too big. And then now here we are, you know, we're at that. It feels like almost the same thing, doesn't it? Like, there's no way he could score that many goals. But what if he does? Yeah. Like, he scores it. I'm actually more surprised these days that when he doesn't score is when he does. It's like he scores every game. It's
remarkably consistent. Yeah.
Oh, and he shoots different. He's so big and he moves so well. I'm going to say no, because I don't think the longevity is. I just don't see how people can do it. I really don't. The game continues to get faster, and there'll be a point where it'll kind of level off for a while. But the faster it goes, the chance for injury is greater. The chance for less time to shoot the puck happens. I just think Ovi was different, and the time of game was different too.
Connor McDavid, meanwhile, sitting at 97 assists, tracking to hit 100 and become the fourth player in NHL history to do that. The question I have for you, Ray, because there's a lot of talk about McDavid and this 100 assists this year and the historical significance of it when you adjust for the era. And then you got Matthews here with eight. He's eight shy of hitting 70. So a couple of pretty impressive milestones that might get reached this year. I put it to you, which do you think is the more impressive of the two feats? And I've got some historical context here. Do you want that before you answer?
No.
Okay.
I know how rare it is. I think Gretz only had 100 assists like 12 or 13 times, was it? Or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, only done by three players, 13 times total.
Okay, so it's 11 by Gretz.
Yeah.
And which is kind of silly, isn't it, when you think
it's
about
ridiculous.
It. I'm going to say the 70 goals is harder because I don't think there is anything harder than scoring in the game. I guess you could get an empty net goal or three or five in a season. The way assists are handed out today as opposed to way back in the day, like, you can get an assist if McDavid passes the puck to Draisaitl and Draisaitl passes it to McDavid, to Hyman, and Hyman scores, Draisaitl will get an assist.
Yeah.
Right? If there's another pass in between that removes one of, you know, like it becomes one pass extra, both guys still get an assist. I think assists are handed out a little easier.
Yeah.
I think it's more like, well, there's two assists on every goal, right? I'm sure.
There's no secondary goals. The only primary goals.
I am guaranteed the Quizmaster said scoring goals is harder. Oh, guaranteed.
1,000%. 1,000%.
And for all the times the Quizmaster is wrong, this is one that he is 100% right on.
So it's actually been done. The 70 goal mark has been done more often. Eight players have done it. Gretzky four times, Hull three, Lemieux two, McGillney, Esposito, Solani, Nichols, and Curry all did it. The last time was in 1992-93. So the 100 assists has been done fewer times by fewer players. It's the more rare of the two accomplishments. And when you adjust for the era, I think it's, you know, 89-90 was the last time it was done. So you say goals, but fair to say, I mean, it's a pretty good argument and it's pretty close.
I wouldn't have thought that, you know, like I would have assumed more people had gotten to 100 assists.
Yeah.
And then when you think of it, so, you know, you're 1.2 assists per game, right? Which is pretty wild, but I still say, even with those numbers, I still say scoring 70 goals is way harder. Now, okay, so Esposito had it how many times?
Once. 70 goals.
Okay, Bobby Orr had 102 assists that year. Curry had...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that, I know, of all of it, the D-man, that's outstanding.
That year, I mean, I was a Bobby guy growing up. He had 37 goals and 102 assists. 139 points. Didn't win the scoring title because Esposito had 76 and 76 for 152. Like wild.
You are a numbers guy, by the way.
I like that stuff. So Nichols had 70. Gretz was there. Lemieux had his 70.
Couple times.
They were scoring 400 goals a year. It was McGillney. I wonder, was Pat LaFontaine maybe his center? Must have been that year. The Solani one's interesting for me because I know it was a different time, and Winnipeg was, you know, we always think of Solani in Anaheim, but it was in Winnipeg when he did it. And he tells a great story about they used to run this play, Ryan. I'll never do that again. Sorry.
Yeah.
And sorry to Drakes. And that Solani would come from the right wing and he'd go sprint right to the center dot.
Yep.
And Phil Housley would step out behind the net and throw a long pass up and he'd hit him at the dot. And he said, we must have done that play 30 times. There was no video. So nobody ever knew about it because nobody saw. And he goes, it wasn't until like March where teams, you know, they were playing for the second or third time. They're like, hey, wait a minute. This looks familiar. Maybe I'll just go stand over here. So his year was kind of stands out, even though that was in a huge scoring year.
Well, Quizmaster landed on the fact that there's no secondary goals and there are secondary assists and that goals are the hardest thing to come by. So he leans heavily in the favor of the goals. By the way, some context there, 61 primary assists for Connor McDavid this season, 62 primary goals for Austin Matthews. Let's move on to another one of the game's greats, and Sidney Crosby equals Gretzky's record, 19 straight point per game seasons. Just insane consistency in today's NHL. A remarkable accomplishment, Ray. And maybe a quick thought on what that accomplished. I didn't know that was coming, and I heard it, and I saw the tweet, and I went, "Oh, it kind of caught me." But just a quick thought on that accomplishment before we get into Sid and his future.
Well, I think what I admire most about Crosby is his. The rate at which he works game in and game out, it never seems to I mean, sure, he's got lousy games like everybody else, but it never seems to fade away. Mm-hmm. Like the way that he works, the way that he still grinds. I talked to Mike Sullivan a couple of weeks ago, and he said the thing that blows him away is Sid has this never-ending quest to be a little better.
Yeah.
And I think as you get older, that curiosity of the game leaves you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just about, what do I have to do to be the best on that particular day? And Sid has this thirst and this curiosity to be better all the time. And for 19 years, same as Ovi, when you talk about it, the consistency and the longevity is astounding. And so it's him and Gretz at 19 years, right? And that's
that's unreal.
Amazing.
So the future of Sidney Crosby, it's something that's going to be talked about a lot. There is this sense that there's immense value in going wire to wire with one team, that it puts you in a different category or it has this different meaning to your career. I don't think I buy that though, Ray. I don't. I mean, I think about Ray Bourque in his career and you know, he was an amazing, he'll always go down as an amazing Bruin, but you know, what do you think is the right thing? What would you like to see for Sidney Crosby here in the future? Did you go wire to wire as a Penguin and see this thing through until you're done or, you know, see 87, go chase it somewhere?
Well, I think the one difference for this, before I get to why I get to this answer, is that, and why I think Sid will stay, is Ray Bourque had not won. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go chase. He wanted a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Sid's won. Won multiple times. And legacy probably is easier to mean more in this case than had he not won. It doesn't mean that if he signs a 3-year deal in year two that he can not go somewhere. Like maybe you start in this position and you end in a different one. I think I just have that scenario in my head. I just do not see him, however, playing uncompetitive seasons.
Yeah.
I just don't see it in his makeup.
That's almost more hard to fathom than him in a different sweater. Meaningless hockey as of December. You know, that's more hard. And that's like the Penguins are headed in a tough direction, man. There's not a lot there. It's going to be a long road. It's hard to fathom him in the middle of that as his career comes to a close.
No, without question, Ryan, he's going to look around at a couple of his wingers over the next few years and go, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
And because they're going to be young, they're going to be in order to rebuild while they've got all that money tied up in those four players, it's going to be really difficult. They don't have a lot of draft picks. They're boxed in. Really, right now. And so the uncompetitive stuff just does not jive with anything that Crosby is about. But I also don't think he would be one of those players that you see in three different jerseys by the end of his career.
Right. Pick a spot,
that's it, finish. Yeah. But I think he, my, whatever today is, April 2nd, I think he signs in Pittsburgh and I think one of the reasons is because he's won there and he doesn't have to chase.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Great perspective. All right, moving on. John Tortorella, 4-3 loss to the New York Islanders. The Flyers suffered last night in overtime. Outshot 17-3 in the second period. Went the other way. Outshot him 19-3 in the third. Made a game of it. Picked up a point. But after the game, once again, Torts making headlines.
There are certain people that they don't have a clue how to play or just don't have it in them to play in these type of situations. And this is why I'm glad we're playing them. I'm glad because we have to figure things out as far as what we're going to become as a team here. That was embarrassing in the second period for the Philadelphia Flyer uniform, the way we play. Embarrassing.
There are certain players that don't have a clue, and I'm glad we're playing them because we need to figure things out.
Yeah.
Sort of says to me, like, we need these guys on the ice so everybody can see the ones who stand out in that way. More headlines here from John Tortorella. Ray, after last week, you had talked about there needing to be quiet for a little bit here. What do you make of this latest round from him?
John has, when he's frustrated, the filter between, you know, brain and mouth goes away, and frustration takes that filter away. And so I can tell you, coaches think this all the time. Like, we need to find out who has got it, who can play, who will fight, who will dig through a tough time, or who will fold, who will go, you know what, I can't get there. And there's all kinds of players that can't get to the level that coaches want them to get to. It just is a fact. Otherwise, everybody would be in the Hall of Fame and it would be sold out. There'd be no room for more players. Yeah. So I understand what he's saying. I think there's a point where you could say the players tune him out and tune out the press conference, except what he's talking about, they're guys that know he's talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be comfortable.
And potentially some important guys. I mean, sure, we're not going to speculate too far, but like, it's not ripping on fourth liners and third pairing defensemen only here. Like, there are keys to this organization that have struggled under him.
Yeah, and there's some that have taken enormous steps.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, like, they're going to have some decisions to make this summer. I mean, let's be honest, Ryan, they didn't think they were going to be here.
Yeah.
This year.
Impressive.
I mean,
it is.
It really, and by the way, did you see the picture of the Russian goaltender that came in?
Oh, that, 6 foot,
6 foot 14. What, like, the crossbar is under his waist. He's just standing there. First of all, where did they get that jersey from? Like, Philly tent and awning? I mean, that thing that's got to be the biggest jersey ever made. I'm not even kidding. It's got to be the biggest jersey ever made in the history of the game, because it has to get around the goalie pads. And Ivan Fedotenko?
Fedotov. Is it Fedotov? Yeah.
Yeah. But he's 6 foot eight, I think. And have you got his numbers up there?
I'm just pulling it up. He was listed at 6'7 in one spot, 6'6 in another. But either way, he's six and more than a half.
Yeah, you got to look at the picture. If you haven't seen the picture, just Google it and look at it. He is enormous. Yeah. Enormous.
Pretty cool.
Anyway, he came in his first game yesterday, came in a relief, and two goals on 21 shots, did quite well. And, you know, Philly is interesting. I'm really curious where they go with this in the offseason, because there was no question that Torts has pushed them to a place they didn't think they were going to get to organizationally.
Yep.
Now you have to decide which players are growing and which players are not.
So by that comment though, Ray, it sounds like, you know, there are guys that don't have a clue. I'm glad we're playing them, because we got to figure out, you know, kind of where we're going here.
Yep.
In other words, expose the guys that aren't going to be able to survive in the system that we're playing and with the expectations that we have for our team, right? That's what I take out of that. But I guess if you're Daniel Briere and, you know, Jonesy and those guys, and you're looking at it, because a player maybe doesn't function well under Torts.
Oh, yeah.
Is that reason to cut bait on a player organizationally? Because Torts is a coach who, there's going to be lots of guys he gets lots out of. Lots. But I would also submit to you that there's going to be a certain type of player who is probably still a good player, probably still a valuable player, that might not function that well under this kind of an environment and this kind of a circumstance. So is it really about Torts just being Torts and he just gets to be exactly who he wants to be? And there are those who will sink and those who will swim, and it's on the organization to get rid of the guys that are going to sink? Or is it on him to figure out what he needs to do to make it work with the guys that maybe it's not working with great?
Well, I would say with John, with most veteran coaches, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
At this point, like, he's not going to change in the offseason and come back in September as a completely different person with a different coaching philosophy. I mean, this is the way he coaches. There are all kinds of examples of players that thrive under one coach and not another. They're all
Jake
over
DeBrusk.
The
place. Yep.
Right. There is, well, take a look at Jake before and after the deadline. Completely different player. Production, like there are so many factors into a, in what makes a player be in a good place to be successful. And in Philly, they're going to have to decide. And the other trick to this is that, you know, John's not going to coach for 15 more years or 8 more years.
Well,
or,
exactly.
So, you know, is he going to be your coach for the next couple of years? That's probably their decision. And if he's not, then that might temper who they are frustrated with. Like, I know like 2 weeks ago, it was about Sean Couturier and, you know, should he have scratched him or not scratched him? You know what their biggest problem or biggest decision is in Philly? Sean Couturier's got 6 years left on his contract. Like, maybe they shouldn't have named him captain if he was going to be a player that was going to be on the fringes of the lineup. Like, I think he's got one goal in I don't even know how long, forever. Right? So, like, there are some decisions you can tie right to Tortorella, and there's some decisions you can tie to other factors in Philly. But Philly's a really interesting place because they are headed in a direction faster than I think most felt they would get to.
Yeah, as noisy as it's been, and as much as, you know, there's criticism, I think, that's fair for John Tortorella for constantly being in the headlines and constantly, it's got to get tiring for the players. You can't take away what this team has done and the way they've surprised and what he's been able to extract out of them. And if you're management, that's hugely meaningful in a year like this. But I don't know, there's this balance, man. There's this balance. I think you got to be careful how many players you let wilt under a guy that does things the way that Tortorella does, because he's rare, man. These guys might be okay under other guys.
Unless he's right.
And like, yeah, fair enough. Unless he's right.
Unless he's right. And that's that. Those are the discussions that they would have as they evaluate players. Here's the crazy thing. They don't evaluate. They're not, the GM's not in the coach's office every day evaluating players. Right. Like, that doesn't happen. There's enough to do. They have their discussions on the players, but like, they're not going over each player each day. They just, there's just not enough time to do that. So they have their meetings at whatever they, hey, let's have a catch up on where we're at. And it might be after a few games or 4 or 5 games. And, but it, at the end of the year, I mean, Daniel Briere is in charge. Keith Jones and Daniel Briere are in charge of the hockey department. And Torts is going to, I mean, he's hanging on to a playoff spot right now. And if he's coaching in the playoffs, you got to say noisy as hell, but
100%.
They're in the playoffs and it was a successful year.
And certainly right in the middle of the coach of the year, the Jack Adams conversation as well. 83 points, third in the Metro. They are 2-5-3 in their last 10. So pressure's ratcheting up a little bit. It's going to be really interesting to see how the Philadelphia Flyers finish off. All right, those were our headlines brought to you by Tim Hortons.
Tim's new savory pinwheels. They're buttery, flaky, and come in two delicious flavors. Roasted red pepper and Swiss, and caramelized onion and Parmesan.
I like knowing that I have something ready that tastes great.
Tim's new savory pinwheels. It's time for
Tim's. Interviews on Ray and Dregs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey, introducing the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey, finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry casks, all the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness of sweetness and sweetness of Sherry. All right, time now for Ask Ray and Dregs Anything. Today it's more just Ask Ray Anything. I don't think anybody wanted to ask me anything.
Well, you never know. You never know, right?
Put out a call and got some great responses on Twitter and via email. So thanks to everybody for participating. We'll go to Twitter here with our first one, Ray. High and Wide Hockey asks, when coaches talk about being prepared to start a game, or we hear about players known for their preparation, what kinds of things
are they talking about? Visualization? If a team wasn't prepared, as we often hear, what happened? Late night shenanigans. Explain this concept.
There are certain things that are in the hockey lexicon. You know, like you got to play 60 minutes. We haven't dominated a game for 60 minutes. Like that never happens. You never dominate a game for 60 minutes. We want a full 60 minute effort. Never happens because the other team gets to try. The other team gets to throw a wrench into the spokes of your game once in a while, right? And so, like that gets said to be prepared. Like there are no
camera a little smack.
Yeah, do I have to fix that now? Yeah, I probably do. Zuby, are we getting this?
This will be 15 minutes. Now it's tilted. I love this.
I got it. No.
I love
it. Look at it though. I don't have a tech guy here. I'm in a hotel room.
People can see what we go through at the start of every podcast. Ray comes blazing in hot, couple minutes late, can't get his stuff level. Can't figure out the drapes.
I screwed up the headroom now. Sorry for those of you watching. I can't fix it now. To be prepared, there are some nights, no matter what you do, the game starts and like your brain's a little slow, your legs are a little slow, like you're not prepared. And it could be one of many things in the day. You could have got to the rink a little late. You know, traffic could have been bad. You're like, oh my God, I'm 15 minutes later than I usually am. Yeah. The meetings could be in a different order they never are, but they could be on that day. Anything that throws your routine off can throw your preparedness off. And sometimes you just feel lousy and you literally are not ready to go. The game starts, you're going at one speed, everyone else on the ice is going at another. And it is panic and it feels like it's, you know it right away. Like I remember in warm-up going like, come on, legs.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask about that because, you know, you could do everything to prepare and you have your meal and your pregame nap and your sticks are prepared to perfection. You're feeling great and you step out on the ice to take that first lap and you go, oh, no. Like you feel heavy. It in the tops of your thighs.
Yeah, heavy. You're like, I don't get it.
Your feet and are so just stomping down.
And right away, I would always think, okay, I'll give it a couple of minutes here. You know, and I'll try and get a good sweat in and maybe I'll get loosened. And sometimes you do, and sometimes it gets worse. And there are other times you're sick, you throw up a couple of times or whatever, you've got the flu, you drag your ass to the rink and you play fantastic. Like there's no rhyme or reason. I've thought for all these, you know, all the ways that everybody's trying to figure out an edge about who's favored or who's not favored in a game. If you ask teams right before the game, is your team ready to go? And the guys would go, yep, yeah, oh, we had a great warm-up. We're ready to go. Goalie looks sharp. Goalie gives up a crappy goal 20 seconds in. You take a penalty next shift. They score. You're down 2-0. It doesn't matter how ready you are. The game's already half gone. So it's prepared. Yeah. Being prepared is a funny thing. And coaches will say, we weren't prepared tonight. And very possible that's the answer. But there might not be a way that it could have been any different.
All right, moving on to Eric in Regina. Now, Dregs isn't here to answer this question. So I'm interested in your perspective on this one. Eric
asks, is it about farming?
It is not. I would not be asking you about that.
Okay.
How did the Ray and Dregs hockey podcast start? Who called who? And what were your expectations back then? What's your favorite part of having a show like this?
We had a couple of guys that were in marketing and they said, hey, have you guys ever thought about doing a podcast? It was at the draft in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And Dregs and I were like, nah, no. I mean, podcasting was just really getting going. And the answer for both of us was no, not really. We hadn't thought about it. And then so we said, well, so we talked a little bit and we went through a couple of phone meetings because Dregs went back home. And we said, well, let's give it a go. And then it was kind of fun. And we're like, oh, this is good. Yeah. We'll try it again. We had no idea what we were doing. No concept.
I remember season one. You guys had that segment called Throat Punch. Every episode you were like, well, Ray, who are we delivering a throat punch to this week? It was awesome.
One of Dregs' great sayings that whenever somebody would frustrate, it was like, that guy needs a throat punch. That was, as you know, that was one of Dregs' old school. And then it kind of went away because, you know, there's some days you're like, I don't really feel like a throat punch. He deserves a boot in the ass.
Might be a little harsh.
And so my favorite part, honestly, is the guests.
Yeah.
I love hearing what they've got to say. They're just, some guys are just so interesting and it's so unexpected. You know, like some guys you think are going to be great and they're pretty good. And then some guys you have, well, I think he'll be okay. And they just knock it out of the park. Yep. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
So Dregs isn't here, but one of our favorite things that Dregs does that we always laugh our asses off at, I actually managed to catch on audio one time while we were preparing for a recording. So I have this and I can use this absolutely anytime, Ray.
Oh, this is big.
Every time his phone dings, oh boy, he always says it. Well,
oh, this is big.
Remember, how many times would he do that? And then he'd pick up the phone and go,
Hi, Holly. All right, moving on, our last question. This is from Eric Michaud. Who is your dark horse team, Ray, to make a deep playoff run?
The problem is that the dark horses aren't so dark horsey anymore. Mm-hmm.
Nashville would be a dark horse.
Right, but I mean, like, everything's kind of jammed up and, you know, like, all the teams are kind of muddled over top. I mean, Nashville would be the obvious choice because I mean, that run put them in solidly into the playoffs, but I don't think anybody really expects them to go far, even though that would be the pick.
If Philly wins a round, that would be a deep run for them this year.
Yeah, but I think deep run we're talking about, you got to get two rounds. You got to get to the conference final. Would it be possible for Vancouver to be a dark horse? They missed the playoffs last year.
I know, man. And it's so funny. Like, nobody picks them. Nobody picks them. You know, like they've been good all year long, right from the opening game where they smoke showed the Oilers, and they've been good all year long, but nobody picks them.
The reason I would pick them is they don't give up any goals.
Yeah.
Like, their power play's been really dry. There's been a few teams where their power plays have just gone off the rails here for good teams. Boston, same thing. Like, they don't score on the power play, yet they keep winning. But Vancouver does not give up any goals.
Yeah.
And so I would say that would be a dark horse sort of kind of pick. It seems weird to say that.
100-point dark horse team. Yeah.
Right. Like,
it is weird. But it's the way they're viewed. It's the way people view them. You know what? Here's part of the reason why I think people view them this way, and maybe why I do. They don't have the scars, Ray. They don't have the scars of battles lost. The Edmonton Oilers have scars, man. They got deep scars of disappointment that fuel them and motivate them. And the Canucks don't have them. I don't know if you need them, but they don't have them.
There is a little bit to that, or there's a lot to that, that you get into a series where it goes on you a little bit and you don't really panic. You're able to kind of reach back into what you say and, you know, over the scar and go, yeah, we've been here before. We've done this. We don't have to win three games today. We've got to win the first period of today. And it's really obvious, but it's a mindset that's hard to get to. There's also the complete naivety of going into a playoff series the first time. You have no idea what's in front of you. And sometimes that's a good thing. Yeah. Like our first playoff in Hartford, we got outshot like 8-2 or something or other in the first couple of minutes. Mike Liu was unreal in goal. And then eventually we finished like 50 points behind Quebec and we won the series. Like, there's no way that should have happened.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any idea. The next year when we were more seasoned and we lost in the first round. So that didn't really help us. Maybe we didn't have any scars yet. You know, like, seriously, maybe we didn't.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. The Vancouver Canucks are going to be fascinating as playoff time rolls around to see what they're able to do.
I tell you what will matter. One thing about the Canucks is today's what the second is. Demko comes off, is eligible to come off IR on the 6th. And they need him to be as great as he has been most of the season. Like, that's their eraser. They need that.
Yeah. All right, that was Ask Ray and Dregs Anything. That'll wrap up the show today, Ray. You know what I noticed about the podcast? I'm sitting in the behind the scenes watching you guys tape them all this year. You get off easy having Darren Dreger as a partner, because when Dregs is in the host's chair, he is not nearly as yippity-yappity, chirpy, harsh. He is the nicest, kindest version of himself when he's hosting this podcast with you. And you get off pretty easy, man, I have to say.
Well, as opposed to the way he just...
treats me? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, that's what we're trying to say. Yes. Although Dregs doesn't come off like he's got a great sense of humor. You know, like on the air, he's very businesslike. And
it's annoyingly sharp. It pisses me off.
Is it ever? Oh, really?
Really? We were talking about, and he's so quick. It's such a piss off because he can't help but laugh when really he deserves a throw punch. There was one day, I don't know, we were on the road, we were oversharing, and I don't remember exactly what context it was, but I was like, oh, I tried something different with my hair today. And he goes, yeah, committing to the comb over. Like, it was so fast. It was like lightning fast. And I was so annoyed, but that's the thing. Yeah. But when he's in the host chair, he's got too much to think about. So he's the nicest version of himself. So
the Dregs that is interesting to watch is right around the trade deadline when he's hosting.
Yeah.
Like, his head's gonna spin right off.
Oh, yeah.
Or free agency, and he's looking and he's distracted, and Tiny's barking in the back. And it's we haven't heard. Tiny's been a lot quieter lately.
Yeah, he has been.
Yeah, you know, because there was a few there.
He's been doing some training. I think they've been doing some training and sort of getting Tiny under control a little bit.
It's about time. It's about time.
Right on. Well, Ray, this was a pleasure for me, man. I had a ton of fun. Right. And honestly, a real pleasure hosting this podcast that I've been listening to for all 5 seasons. So thanks for letting me do it, because I know you had final sign-off. It was either me or paid Duffy a bunch of money to do it, and I was going to do it for free. So
it was not much of a decision given those parameters. I will say I didn't bring the Jason Strudwick math today about the 50-50 puck, because, you know, 50-50, the problem is you just win half of them.
That's true.
Really? Is that what?
Studying his math. Between him and I, there are some serious mathematical errors that happen on our show constantly.
It's a good thing. Thanks for jumping in today. And are you on Thursday, or is Dregs back?
No, Dregs will be back on Thursday. Yeah. So fans can relax.
You know what? We're going to have to push that to Friday, though.
Oh, are we? Okay.
I have a golf match on Thursday in Arizona. I'm very, very quite excited.
By the way, I have to say, as I'm putting the golf simulator together in the garage, you were actually on video helping me out with my swing the other day.
Yes.
And you actually helped me. You gave me one tip that I have been putting into play, and it has legitimately helped me. I was quite impressed with your ability to look at my swing from a distance on crappy video and make some tweaks.
Here's the thing with a golf swing. It's always easier to help someone else than to help yourself, because if somebody gives you a tip, you're like, but I just can't do that. I can't make myself do that. So I'm glad the invoice is in the mail. It'll be in right next to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Zuby, as we wrap up the podcast, for those that are watching on video, go ahead and roll the disaster of a swing that happened. We caught a bit of a blooper on tape. So as we wrap up the podcast, Zuby will show those of you watching on video what happened. Little pop-up, minor little pop-up in the simulator. Ray, have a great trip, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight, and great to chat with you, my friend.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. We'll talk on Friday. Thanks
all
for
right,
listening,
thanks
everyone.
Thanks to all of you for liking and subscribing, for coming along this ride that is the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast. And a huge thanks, as always, to our amazing sponsors. Of course, our fantastic title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons as well. We'll see you Thursday, folks. Friday.